Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Eva, I'm so excited that you're here to talk to our audience today. I know a little bit about you, but I need to learn so much more. I know that you are a macronutrient and a nutrition coach, but I want to know all the juicy details. So you may or may not know this, but on every guest interview episode, we always start with an icebreaker question. And that question is, if you had a dating profile, your relationship status is moot. I believe you're happily married, but we're just going to forget about him for a second. If you had a dating profile, what would it say? Tell us all of the fun facts about you.
Wow. That is a good question. Okay. Cliche, but loves to travel. I lived in Germany when I was 3 years old and used to speak fluent German. I know nothing now, but I used to speak it fluently. I sang the national anthem for the Milwaukee Brewers game, but it was when they were playing the Chicago Cubs right after the Cubs won the World Series. So it was packed, like no empty seat. I thought I was going to die. I have never been that nervous in my life. And you just go up there with a headset, there's no music, and they're like, okay, sing. And you're like, oh, it was great. It was wonderful. It was awful and, you know, all the things, but it was great. I would say adventure. I second guess everything, but I'm still going to do it. I don't know.
Love that.
I haven't done a dating profile in so long. I was never even on the dating website because it's a little before my time, but I'm aging myself here. Yeah.
Is that good? Yeah, it's fantastic. I have never created a dating profile either. So it's sort of fun to ask this question just to see what pops up. Tell us about what your life looks like though, with your husband and your children. Where are you geographically? Tell us who you are.
Awesome. Side note, I kind of want to like look at people's dating profiles just to see what they say about themselves. Like, what are people talking about? Okay, so we live in Orlando, Florida. We've lived here almost 7 years. We moved from Wisconsin. That's where I met my husband, in the tundra that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Freezing cold. Had all three of our babies there. And when my youngest was 9 months old and my oldest was four, so my kids are all a year and a half apart, we moved to Orlando for my husband's job. And that really is a pivotal, huge part of my health journey that I can share in just a second, of like how that catapulted me into becoming a health coach in general. But yes, we live in Florida. We've been here 7 years. I have a 10-year-old daughter who is wonderful, but she's on the brink of wanting to be a teenager and also a little girl. And it's a really weird balance of who is this kid? Like, she's changing so much, but it's also exciting and scary. My husband and I look at each other like, who is this? Like, she's so grown up, and I don't know. It's interesting. So she's 10. I have a 9-year-old son, and I also have a 7-year-old son. So we are active family, a lot of entertainment.
I bet they keep you so busy. And honestly, so Eva, I didn't know you were in Orlando. I'm in Lakewood Ranch. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we're just a couple hours away. I think we might actually have to get together in person.
Yes. Oh, that would be so fun. I love that. I love meeting coaches in person.
Oh, I had no idea you were like a Florida native. I'm learning all sorts of things about you. So you mentioned your kind of pivotal point when you guys relocated to Florida as kind of being really influential in your health journey. And I know that you have quite the origin story. So take us back to when you were in Wisconsin. What did your health look like then? Like, give us the nutshell version of how you became the coach that you are today.
All right. So when we lived in Wisconsin, Before I met my husband, or before we even started dating, I was the queen of working out. I always loved working out. I was at the gym. I even got certified through, I want to say, I don't know the company name, but it was Turbo Kick. I think it might be, it used to be part of like Beachbody. Maybe, I'm not positive on that, but I got certified to be a Turbo Kick instructor. So it was just like, I enjoyed working out. I was in the gym. Now, granted, I was doing body pump, Turbo Kick. So it was like very random exercises, but I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I started running, not because I wanted to, but I thought that's what healthy people do. So I was like, I'm a runner, which again, hated every second of it. And then we got married and we actually started having, I got pregnant pretty quickly because I was 31 when we got married. And so I wasn't sure, would we struggle? Would it be hard to get pregnant? So I was like, let's just like not prevent and see what happens. And sure enough, I was pregnant within a month, not a month of getting married, but like a month of after being off birth control for like, I think I was on it 6 months, nothing crazy. So we got pregnant and then it was pregnant, nursing, pregnant again, nursing, pregnant again, nursing. So it was just right on top of each other. So you can only imagine the hormonal shifts and changes. And I had no idea about nutrition. And in the back of my mind, always, I was like, you've got to get your nutrition under control. You literally have no idea how to eat. I wouldn't say that I was overweight or I was unhealthy. I was just like flying by the seat of my pants, right? Like, and again, you have all these young babies. You're just hoping to survive through potty training and nursing and all the things that they're doing all at the same time. And I was just really on the back burner. During that time though, I was working, I was on staff doing worship at a church. And so things were shifting in that area where like that was going to part-time as I was having more kids. And then when my husband got the job opportunity in Florida, we decided to take it. Obviously, you're moving from Wisconsin to Florida, so that's a good upgrade. And when we got here, I realized I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 9-month-old. I don't know anybody here. I don't trust anybody. So I can't work. Like I need to stay home with these kids and be a stay-at-home mom, which was pretty hard for me because I had been such a career-driven person. I had worked, never ever thought I would be a stay-at-home mom. It just wasn't part of the future I had entailed for myself or even dreamed of. So that was really, really hard. As much as I love being with the kids and being with them, it was a huge identity crisis. Like, I don't know how to be this, you know? So we're here. He's not making a ton of money. I'm not working. And we have a big family. And so I said, I know we can't afford it, but I have to have this membership to the YMCA because I want to work out again. And they offer 2 hours of childcare every day, you know, part of the package. So I was like, I can have a break. I can put them all in the daycare there for 2 hours. I can work out. And so we couldn't afford it, but I was like, my mental health can't not afford this, you know? So once we did that, I was gung-ho. I'm like, I'm back to working out. I feel like myself again. And I'm taking the full 2 hours. Like I'm doing a body pump class and then a spin class. Like I am like there. I am committed. I'm feeling so good. And a year later, I'm like, man, I feel amazing. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, I look exactly the same. Like, how can I be busting my butt in the gym and doing all this stuff and look literally exactly the same? And so that's when I was like, I've got to get my nutrition under control. So it was like this aha moment. Like if you do not figure this out, you're just going to look the same. And that's not fun, right? Working out and looking exactly the same. So that's when I kind of just started unlearning, learning, relearning, like really diving into these things. I started with keto because that's what you do. You start with like whatever diet you hear about. And it was just so hard on me. I couldn't do my workouts. I was super dizzy. I did lose some weight, which was nice. And it was like a nice, you know, push in the right direction. And it also helped me because now I'm tracking my food and I'm looking at carbs and fat and all that stuff. So it got me like at least paying attention to what I was eating. But I knew that it just was not going to work for me. I love carbs so much. And it was just like, well, this is just not fun. So a friend of mine was like, hey, have you ever heard of macros? And I hadn't really like categorized these as macros. I just knew you're looking at your fat and you're looking at carbs, but like, I didn't call them macros, you know, and which then got me looking into things. And I started following people on Instagram, and I started like seeing these women who are going, "Hey, I eat 200 grams of carbs a day," and I'm looking at them like, "You look amazing! So you can look good and eat carbohydrates." Like, it was just something I never thought was possible, because I thought if you're healthy, you're eating clean, you don't eat bread, you never eat sugar, and you're like the cardio queen, right? Like, I feel like we all feel that way. So that's when it started, and I shifted things and was just, let me try this, let me up my protein. And my body began to transform like right in front of my eyes in a way that I was like, this is insane. Like, this is so much better than anything I ever thought I could look and feel, you know? So that's the long story.
Oh my gosh. I got here. I love it. I actually want us to go back to something you said, because first of all, thank goodness for the YMCA daycare. I still take my son. I mean, he's 18 months, but it allows me to get the workout in when otherwise there would be no workout. But you mentioned you would do back-to-back classes, take full advantage of, you know, child-free time.
Yep.
Working out arguably an hour and a half, 2 hours daily for much of a year and no change. And I think a lot of people listening may be thinking, if I worked out for 2 hours every day, I would expect a complete overhaul, like a huge transformation, which it sounds like you had that expectation too. Who wouldn't?
Right.
Why, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about why exercise now, knowing what you know, didn't create the transformation that nutrition did for you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously I didn't know then how. I knew the sayings that 80% was nutrition, 20% was working out, but I refused to believe that. I was like, no, that doesn't make enough sense. But what was happening was I was essentially eating back everything when I was in those classes. So that's a lot of energy expenditure, right? And being a mom of young kids, my nutrition, when I say it was all over the place, and I'm sure a lot of you listening can feel this way, it was like, let me grab this to eat really quick. And I'm going to eat my kids' leftover chicken nuggets or a bite of their mac and cheese or that half eaten granola bar, right? Like, you're eating on the fly, you're winging it. And then when they go to bed, game on. My husband and I had a big old meal. Like, I was making whatever I felt because I was so hungry, right? I'm expending all day and 2 hours of a workout and chasing after kids, and just my nutrition was not a forethought. It wasn't planned ahead. And so, yes, I was working out, but I was eating all of those calories back in like very calorie dense meals that were not protein focused or even fiber focused. They were just focused on filling the need to eat, right? And then like, oh, well, we should probably have a dessert too, right? Because we just had this great meal. And then why not send your husband to the store really quick, like, hey, do you want to run to Sonic or do you want to run to the store and grab some ice cream, right? Like, this was a recurring thing of just having like a sweet treat. So I would never buy it at the store, like, no, we can't buy that. But then that night I'd be like, do you want to run to Sonic? You know, and of course he's like, yeah, of course I do. And so it was just eating back all those calories at night, right? And so you're working out, that's a lot of working out, you know, and then eating it back at night. And so that's where the guilt came in. It was just like, in fact, it was the night before Memorial Day, and I'll never forget it. Cause that's like, I don't know, a date, not that we all look forward to Memorial Day, but you remember specific dates. And we had just had a meal together and the kids were sleeping, right? And again, as a mom, you look forward to bedtime, especially when your kids are super young like that. You're just like, oh my God, they're all in bed. It is quiet. Like, let's sit down and enjoy each other's company. And we had eaten dinner and I said, you know, why don't you run and get us milkshakes from Sonic? So he did. And he came back with the big size, like the largest option. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's too much. But somehow it wasn't too much. And I drank the whole thing. And I just sat there and I was like, something has to change. Like, I cannot do this all the time. Like, tomorrow I'm starting a diet. And it was Memorial Day 2018 that I was like, today's the day that I will do keto. And it was the start. So I was like, I'm cutting out sugar and I'm cutting out carbs. But it was this like aha moment. The milkshake was not sitting right in my stomach. And I was just so frustrated, like working out and not paying any attention to my nutrition. So
I get that. Yeah. And I think a lot of people listening will get it too, because I don't know, I think there's a lot of emphasis placed on exercise that isn't placed on nutrition. So we feel like, well, if I just go and crush a workout, or if I just do endless cardio, I'll then be able to lose weight or change my body composition. When in reality, what the literature shows us is that exercise is super beneficial for weight maintenance. So once we get to our goal, exercise can help us stay there. But in terms of weight loss or body composition change, unless it's a great combination of nutrition focus and physical activity, namely a combination of strength training and cardiovascular, it's probably not going to have a huge influence,
whereas
focusing on nutrition can. Now, Eva, in that post that you referenced, talking about this Memorial Day recommitment, I know that you mentioned you out loud, I think, said to your husband, "I'm going to start eating healthier." And you mentioned that you had said this before multiple times, right? As many of us do. Yeah. And that those previous commitments hadn't been seen through, like they hadn't worked. Okay. So what made you successful that time? Mm-hmm. Like, why was that kind of the key to then unlocking your health potential versus all the previous times that you had tried? Yeah. Was there a difference?
Yeah, I've actually thought about that a lot. Like, what made this one stick? And I think it's a combination of things. I think you are so frustrated, but I also think I was ready. When I decided to do that, my son was now almost two, my youngest. And I just kind of felt like I had a little bit more capacity maybe to like put myself as a priority. The other side of it is, and I actually don't talk about this a lot, but a really good friend of mine was doing keto. And I just would call her all the time. Like, okay, what do I do in this situation? What do I do here? So she was kind of like this mini coach, I guess, without saying that. Now, she was also selling those things that you can buy that like keep you in ketosis or whatever. I don't know. It was like this drink. I didn't buy any of it, but she was like, I do this. And so, but she was a resource and I needed somebody. I needed a resource to ask questions and to go to and to go, okay, well, if she's doing this, surely I can do this too, you know? And I think that that was really a big part of it, was like having somebody, you know? And that also is what propelled me to become a coach, because I'm like, we all need that support and accountability. It is so powerful to have that, you know, whether you can hire a coach, if you're at a place to do that, it's a game changer, or getting a friend to do something with you to like hold you accountable, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what it was. I had the capacity finally, and I had a support system.
I think both of those things are so important to mention. So first of all, the capacity component, when you're a mom of young kids, I mean, you have so little left in the tank. And of course you still deserve to be nourished. You still deserve to eat and you still deserve to prioritize your health. But let's be real. We don't all have the same 24 hours in a day. And sometimes, especially when you're parenting littles, you are just trying to survive. So you reach this point where it was like, okay, he's almost two. Like, I feel like I have a little room to breathe and maybe I can start to shift some priorities here. And then of course, having support shows us that we can get there so much faster and with less friction because we have someone, be it a workout buddy or a coach or a therapist, you know, like someone in our corner who can then help us to turn the failure into feedback. Now, Eva, it's my understanding that you are not keto currently. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. That was very short-lived.
Okay. Tell us about the evolution from, okay, here's my friend who's doing it and she's keto, so I'm going to try it. And it sounds like that was sort of the gateway to discovering what's possible with nutrition. Where did carbs come into play? How did you start to introduce them back?
Yeah. So it really was, I had another friend tell me like, hey, have you looked into macros? And she actually mentioned in an account, I Heart Macros with Quincy. I'm sure you've heard of that account, maybe not, but I started following her. And here's this lady who's my age and she's eating carbs. And I think I said that earlier. I was like, wait, you can look that good and eat carbohydrates? It's funny thinking back on it, but it's really what I thought. I was like, people who are healthy don't eat carbs. I had heard an interview, and I've mentioned this in posts before, Jennifer Love Hewitt. She was really popular in the 90s and early 2000s. And she had said, somebody was asking like in a magazine about her diet. And she was like, well, I lost weight because I don't eat carbs. And she's like, I can't remember the last time I ate a carb. And instantly I was like, I'm embarrassed. I eat carbs all the time. That's like some great willpower. I would never be able to be that strong, you know? And I was just like, you kind of felt shame that you're a person who enjoys food and you eat carbs, and healthy people and skinny people, they just don't eat carbs. You know, it was really that, like, that's what it is. And so when I started keto, I had a lot of pride of like, I can do this. I cut out carbs. Like, that felt really good. It felt like a big accomplishment, but my workouts were terrible and I was very lightheaded. I was extremely lightheaded. And this is something like, that I've dealt with for, I guess, my adult life. Like, I get dizzy really quickly if I'm not, if I don't have enough, I guess, carbs. It happened in college. I mean, I've passed out in the most random places. I guess that's another random fact about me. I've passed out at the mall twice. I passed out in college. I passed out at home. Like, it's just this thing. And so when I was doing keto, I would get up and I would just feel incredibly dizzy. And so I would have to sit and I'd have to breathe. And it was just this very like terrible feeling. And then I would try and do a workout and I was just so tired. So when I started following people like Quincy with iHeart Macros, which led me to other people, like she would tag other coaches or other accounts, Biceps After Babies. I started following Body by Amanda. Like, these were all like the beginning people, Buddy Your Macros. I was like fascinated. I'm like, hold on. Do I just need to eat more protein and a little bit more carbs? You know, like, it was just this, like, could it really be that simple? And so my body really did start to transform. And I think it was those, that year of really pushing with working out and not dieting, right? So it was really, really working out. And even though I wasn't doing like intentional strength training, there was a strength training component to that. So when I started to lose weight, I saw this toned body that I had never, ever thought possible. Like, my arms, I never thought I could have toned arms. My stomach, I lost, like, fat in my stomach. And that was another area, is like, you're just always going to have a belly. Like, even before kids, I didn't have a great ab section, you know? And so it was just like, well, that's just your body type. Well, I started to see a body type I didn't recognize. And I was like, this is incredible. Like, you know, it was just shifting from what I couldn't have and just rebalancing with protein and carbs and a good amount of fat, you know? So it shifted everything. And of course, people, what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing, you know, because you lose 20 pounds. And it's just, people see it, you know?
So it sounds like the experiment you did with keto, while it was short-lived, like you mentioned, it really built your confidence and your mm-hmm. self-efficacy of like, oh, I can do this. I can stay committed to something. But yeah, you were also able to ascertain that low carb was not it for you, simply because yeah, you said like, your workout sucked. And as someone who really likes being physically active, that kind of raises a red flag, not to mention the like hypoglycemia symptoms it sounds like you were having with like the passing out and the lightheadedness.
Yes.
So your body started changing after you introduced mm-hmm. more protein and carbohydrates.
Yeah. So I did lose a little bit of weight on keto. I did keto for about 6 weeks, and I think I lost, I want to say 6 pounds, obviously water weight, right? And it was my first time being in a calorie deficit. So even though it was keto, I was finally in a calorie deficit, but I didn't like how I felt. So that was the catalyst. I actually did a post on this a while ago, of like why I don't regret starting my journey with keto, because of everything that you're mentioning, right? It was the confidence. It was what I needed to start. And I think sometimes we need, like hard set rules. You know, I think people thrive in that a little bit more than like, here are macros and I want you to hit them. It's like, well, I don't know how, like, just tell me to stop eating at 7, to don't eat carbs and don't eat sugar, right? Like, you want these hard set rules. Well, they can be very helpful as like a starting point, but obviously we want to evolve into eating in a way that supports our lifestyle and our preferences and our goals. But yeah, that was really what it took. And then after that, I was hooked. I was like, nutrition can work, like food can work for you, not against you. And it became less about what I can't have and more about, well, I can have this. I just have to learn a new way of eating and balancing it out. And I was obsessed. It was like, the world needs to know this. All the women need to know this. It's so, I mean, you get it, right? It's like so eye-opening to everything we'd ever been taught and learned about diet and nutrition.
Okay, so I want to ask you what you think every woman needs to know in terms of like the boring basics or the building blocks of nutrition. But first, I want to say that I agree with you. I think sometimes starting with whether it's a more conventional diet or a challenge, I see a lot of people asking like, are you anti-challenges? You know, like whether it's a work weight loss program or like 75 hard or Whole 30 or something like that. And I think the misconception is that I am against those things because I stand for sustainability. And those things are by definition not sustainable. Like no one's going to do 75 hard for the rest of their lives, or at least I hope that they wouldn't. But I think the deciding factor, Eva, between whether it's something that is going to be a propellant for you on your journey or whether it's going to be a deterrent for you is what your plan is after the challenge or after the diet. So for you, obviously keto taught you to incorporate like a lot of whole foods and eating healthy fats and minimizing processed packaged carbohydrates. And then after you decided, oh yeah, this maybe isn't for me forever, or even after 6 weeks, incorporating some whole grain carbohydrates and smart carbs or complex carbs.
Yeah.
Whereas other people might be like, well, I only lost 6 pounds of water weight. I feel like garbage. I'm going back to eating the way that I was. You know, maybe that was mostly processed, packaged restaurant meals, drive-through meals, things like that. So I think it depends on whether our plan is to fall into all or nothing thinking and be like, well, this didn't work. I'm going back to whatever I was doing before. Or if we're then able to say, okay, that taught me some things. What can I now refine to keep going, but in maybe a healthier way that works better for me for the foreseeable future?
Yeah. Yeah. It was exactly that. Like, okay, that's not working, but I'm not going to go back because I had seen some weight loss. I had seen, like, I actually was feeling pretty good aside from like the dizzy spells. I was feeling good because I was accomplishing something. And it was, you know, I would watch like those shows, like The Biggest Loser. And I would always be like, that's the kind of willpower I don't think I would ever have. Like I never thought, I was really like in admiration of these people, like the commitment to eating healthy and working out like that. I was like, I can work out, but eating healthy, it was such a big, overwhelming thing. And I was like, I'm not going to track my food. I'm not going to weigh my food. That's what obsessive people do. So I was very much like in awe of people who could get their nutrition under control. So when I was doing keto, I was like, I've got my nutrition under control. Like I have never felt this type of accomplishment before in this area. And it felt really good. I felt very proud of myself, especially 6 weeks in, because I was like, you're going to quit in like a few days. And when week one came, I was like, okay, I did a week. And then week two, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I'm just as surprised as everybody else, you know? And then it, because I kept going, I was just really like feeling proud. It was the momentum and the motivation I needed to continue on. So I was never going to go back after the 6 weeks. I just had to find a better way. And when I found it, the momentum went to a whole nother level. It was like, there is no turning back now. This is addicting. Like, I love this.
So you mentioned, Eva, it begs the question. It's on the tip of my tongue. I have to ask you. Logging all my food, weighing all my food. I'm not going to do that. That's obsessive. And it can be, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. But clearly for you and for so many other people, it also can be very health promoting and it can feel very good. Tell us what you think the difference is. Like, how can we maybe use those tools and track our food and potentially even weigh our food, but refuse for it to get to the obsessive level?
Mm-hmm. I started looking at it as I had heard the analogy, and I'm sure you've probably heard this, that it's like a budget, right? When you're saving money for a car or you're saving money for a vacation, you are looking at all your money coming in and all the money going out in order for you to afford whatever it is that you're saving for. And so I started looking at it like that. I wanted to know what I had available, and I wouldn't know what I had if I wasn't managing and measuring it, right? Like I had to know if I want to eat dessert every single night, right? And still stick with my goals, I need to know what I'm eating during the day, right? So there's these, it was less about hitting these goals and more about what do I have available and how can I make it work? I'm also a numbers person. So I think my brain enjoys data. And so it just kind of sparked like this, like, ooh, I'm enjoying the data of like learning, oh, maybe I don't want the pizza that I thought that I always assumed I would want to eat. Like starting to realize, well, it has, you know, this number of carbs and this number of fat and doesn't really have that much protein. So is it worth it? So I started like being able to understand like what was really in food. And I was enjoying that learning process so that I could make choices that still made me feel like I'm not dieting, right? Like I'm having dessert every single night and I'm enjoying the dessert and I look forward to it, but it feels a lot better eating the dessert knowing that you haven't gone overboard with those other things. That's where tracking and weighing just like shifted for me, you know, and I had seen other people in my life who tracked their food and weighed their food. And it felt very like constricting. And I was like, just sit and eat. Like I didn't see any freedom in their behavior when they were tracking. And when I was doing it, I felt more freedom than ever. I actually felt more joy. Like, oh, I know what's in this food. And that feels good that I'm not just mindlessly eating anymore. Like it was this educational piece that was like, this is pretty exciting to know that there is this much protein in a chicken breast instead of like, hope I'm getting enough protein, you know, or I hope that I'm hitting my nutrition targets. It just felt like nice to have those boundaries and also nice to have that. It felt more freeing, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. It's not, it reminds me of the expression knowledge is power, right? So you're mm-hmm. taking it from a, let me just see what I can learn or what I can ascertain about the foods I'm already eating and figure yeah. out how I can make it work, budget accordingly based on the outcomes that I want to achieve. I get yeah. that. I also, yeah. like you mentioned individual difference, right? Maybe mm-hmm. someone isn't a numbers person, so it does feel super overwhelming, or perhaps they have a history of abusing those tools and maybe it's not the best right. solution for them. But for you, it sounds like it has been yeah. such a helpful tool, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have a history of any sort of, like I never tried to lose weight for my wedding. I never did any other diets aside from keto. So there isn't any history there of like under eating or obsessing about it. I always wanted it. I always wanted to eat healthy, but I never did anything, right? I never tried anything. And so I think that that plays a part too, is that I've never had an obsession with losing weight and trying to get to that point. So when I have a client come to me and tracking and weighing is triggering, we figure out how to do it in a way. Either we continue with tracking and weighing, but we utilize certain tools to help them feel less triggered by it, or we go in the direction of not tracking and weighing. And I obviously give them, you know, tools on how to do that. So if we're not going to be tracking or weighing our food, here's what we do need to be doing, right? Eating on a schedule, prioritizing protein and fiber at every meal, lots of water, understanding your body a lot, being just a lot more mindful of how your body's responding, right? So we go into more of the mindset and habits part. But my goal really is to help people. How do we make this not triggering? Like, how do we shift from it being a trigger point to something that is actually beneficial, you know?
I do. Yes. And that mindset habit world is kind of where we live. So it sounds like we're on very, very similar ends of the spectrum, Eva, with our coaching practices, where your default is a little bit more macro heavy and then erring on like the habit mindset side. If yeah. say, for example, that's not the best approach for a specific person, and we err a little bit more on the habit mindset side of things, but love calorie and macronutrient awareness. So certainly yes. incorporate tracking into most clients' journeys in some way, shape or form. So yeah. you started rattling off some things that maybe you would work on with a client. And I want to circle back to the boring basics. You recently had a post on this that I really liked. Everybody says, start with the basics. What does that even mean? Like, where do I even start? What does that look like? Yeah. So in your opinion, what are the key components to nutrition, the habits that make the biggest difference when we execute them consistently?
Yeah. Definitely daily movement, like walking. I'm not saying walking is the only form, but moving your body consistently, excuse me, throughout the day so that you're not just sitting constantly. So awareness of your body moving, you know, and so steps is just the easiest way for people to measure that, right? You can get a step tracker. So I say daily movement in the form of like your NEAT, your non-exercise activity thermogenesis, The second thing would be to really prioritize protein and fiber with all of your meals, right? Like constantly when you sit down going, where's my protein? Where's my fiber? And building your plate around that. That is awareness with what you're eating. And it's also going to help you stay a lot more satisfied. You're going to stay fuller for longer, right? When we only consume fat and carbohydrates, those get used first and foremost. So they're going to leave you hungry like an hour later. And then if you, and in the hour, grab some more carbs, some more fat, then an hour after that, you're going to want some more. But if we're building our plates around protein and fiber, side note, all of these are simple, but I wouldn't say that they're easy to implement because protein is not a fun food to always eat. Like, oh, let me eat some chicken breast or some turkey deli meat, right? It's like in and of itself, it's not fun. But making your plate be built around those foods and then adding the fun stuff, the carbs and the fat, so that they are not prominent on your plate, but they're definitely still on your plate, can make eating more enjoyable because you've got some of the yummy stuff, but also still balanced, right? So where's my protein? Where's my fiber? Fiber being like fruits and vegetables. So fruits like raspberries, bananas, apples, right? Those types of things. And then vegetables, broccoli, avocado, I guess, is considered a fruit, right? But avocado, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, those types of things being present in your meals, right? So making sure that there is protein and fiber when you're eating. So that's the second thing. Sleep, people really underestimate sleep or think it's not a big deal, but that's part of the foundational things to keep you feeling and looking your best. So sleeping, aiming for 7 hours at least a night, you know, and creating a sleep routine if you need to, but making that a priority. Strength training 3 to 4, maybe 5 times a week. And water, drinking water, like making sure you drink water more than any other beverage, right? You can have your coffee, you can have some of those other fun drinks, but make sure that water is like the number one thing you're drinking every day.
I just got off a coaching call and I was helping this client to drink more water. And one of the things I caught myself saying, which just kind of came out, I hadn't thought about it beforehand, was other drinks are fun and we can totally have them, but we don't need them. Even though it feels like sometimes we need a main line of coffee, we do need water. So what we're going to do is commit to drinking a cup of water before every other beverage. Mm. So you can have your Diet Coke if you're into that. You can have your coffee if you're into that, but water first, then the other fun.
Yeah. Beverage. I love that. Yeah. Like you can have the fun ones, but make sure that water is just foundational. You know, I was on a call too, right before this. And I was just saying these basics are so simple. They're almost too simple, but to implement them, that is where it's kind of just like hard for a lot of people. It's a lot more intentionality and a lot more awareness around the choices that you're making that don't feel second nature in the moment, right? If I'm at work, I mean, I work from home, but if I was working, you know, at an office and somebody comes in that morning with donuts, it's really hard to say no, or it's really hard to just like, you know, go, oh, okay, I'm going to choose the oatmeal that I brought with Greek yogurt, you know, versus the donut. But it's in those moments that you make that choice, and maybe you don't deprive yourself of the donut, but you eat your protein and fiber filled breakfast first, and then say, I'm going to let myself see how I feel afterwards. And if I still want a donut, I'm going to get the donut, but at least you've given your body some sort of nourishment. Right. But that's where it gets hard. The donut's already made. The donut's right there. Your body knows that the donut is going to satisfy instantly. Right. But choosing a fiber filled, protein filled breakfast, eating that first is not what your body naturally wants. And so that's where it becomes hard. It's like saying no to something and yes to something else is not easy. Mm-hmm. Even though it's simple, you know, like the simple solution, eat protein and fiber. But this is where it gets hard, you know?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Honestly, I think it comes down to satiation and satisfaction. So the donut is satisfying. That tastes so good. It's delicious. My taste buds do a dance at the first bite, but it's not going to leave me satiated. Like in an hour, like you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you're going to be hunting for a second donut. So choose something that actually satiates leaves you feeling full and nourished first. In an ideal scenario, most meals have both, right? Something satiating and something satisfying. But sometimes meals are just satiating and they're boring,
right?
But they've got all of the essential components. So it's one of those things where it's like, what's going to serve me best in this moment? Going back to the budget analogy, do I want to buy this thing right now that I really want, even though I didn't budget for it? Or would I rather wait, adhere to the budget because I know that I'm maybe preparing for something else that means more to me in the future. I love that analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it for sure. And it's hard to say no to those things because you're human. You know, when people ask me about, I just want to try intuitive eating. I'm like, just so you know, that is such an advanced, highly advanced skill. And in this day and age, maybe we could intuitively eat a lot easier in the 1700s when we didn't have DoorDash. Or, I mean, if I want anything to eat right now, I could literally get in my car and go get it. Any sort of flavor, any sort of like, if I want Mexican, if I want sushi, if I want tacos, it is available to me at my disposal. So to say I'm going to intuitively eat, well, you have so much available. And you not only have so much available, the quantities are so much bigger. So maybe in the 1700s, you could listen to your body's cues a little bit more because you knew what you had available in front of you at your disposal. So when somebody says that to me, I'm like, this isn't an easy practice, right? It takes time. And it also takes mentally engaging in the situation, like the donut story we're talking about, of saying, yes, I want the donut. And my intuition is to eat the donut. But intuitively eating right now for me looks like going, I'm going to pick what's more satiating. I'm going to pick something that is going to fill me up and fuel me and will help me make a better decision. So once you eat that, then you can literally say, because you're not completely starving or running off of emotion, then you can say like, hey, that donut looks good. I'm going to eat the donut, you know, or I'm not going to.
I have a lot of pickles to pick with intuitive eating. I like to think of it more like informed eating. So yes, I can incorporate what I want, but also I want to incorporate what I know my body needs and will leave me feeling best. And it sounds like we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
No surprise.
Yes, for sure.
So Eva, tell our listeners where they can find you. If they've loved our conversation, they want to consume more of your content, connect with you. Where are you online?
All right. So I am on Instagram. That is really the only social media platform that I do. And it is Healthy or Not Coaching. And then I also have a website, healthyornotcoaching.com. So you can find more stuff there. I do share on Instagram every single day. So lots of stuff there, hopefully beneficial. I try to make it as informative as possible. And also I share a little bit about our family life too. So if you want to see what it's like to have a very extroverted family, you can come to my page and check it out.
I will drop that in the show notes below so everybody can just click and at least have another, like my purpose is to help women quit dieting and learn how to create healthy, confident relationships with food and bodies that they feel at home in. But I have this like submission that is, we can't do that if we're constantly comparing ourselves to strangers on the internet who are using like AI filters on all of their images that they share and just spouting things that are not evidence-based and rooted in truth. So if I can help our listeners to follow more educated, science-backed sources online, I'm all for it. So if you could just be another source of wisdom and knowledge and evidence on their feed, I think that that is fantastic. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us today, Eva.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
It is. And like I said, we're going to meet up in person one day.
I know. That would be great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.